Good morning, everyone. I think we ought to do jumping jacks. I'll watch. How many of you returned to your cabins or your tents or your campers and found a letter from God last night? Let me see the hands. Those of you who didn't, we have more letters up here, but we want to make sure everyone gets a letter from God today. Let's start with our opening prayer in song. Will we all stand, please? Of your Holy Spirit to be with us this morning, throughout the day, throughout this camp meeting, throughout our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the benefits of being the resource person for the prayer ministry out in California is that I do have access to a lot of resources. The way I get these resources is I work with the other prayer coordinators in the Pacific Union Conference and the Northern Pacific Union Conference, and I collect the best that they have to offer and bring that all together into one collection of prayer resources. And That's where this letter from God came from. What I like about this letter from God is that it's a tool that the prayer ministry can use, not only to surprise people, because God likes to surprise people, but when we delivered these last night during the meeting, we pray walked the campus. And so each place where we where we placed one of these letters, we were praying for the people who lived inside there. Each place we walked and stepped, we prayed for that area, that you would receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit as you walk these grounds. And so that's one of the benefits of being a resource person. I want to share a few resources that we have. After our meeting, any of you who would like to look at these close up, you can do so. And the reason I want to share a few of these is that we have everything that I'm about to show you, plus a lot more, on this CD. And anyone who would like to get this CD, we're making it available for $5 each. That each $5 bill that is paid towards this CD will go into the Mountain View Prayer Ministry. So the money stays here. It's something that the North American Division helps me to do so that I can provide these resources wherever I go. So the money will stay into the prayer ministry, and we'll see how the Lord blesses that. Also on this CD is a PDF copy of my book, Sabbath at Sea. That was originally published by Pacific Press. It's out of print now, and I have the copyright to that now. So I just like to make it available to anyone who would like to read it. It's a story of how Rick and I met on submarine, and how the Lord blessed us, and how that is the reason that both of us are here today. So I would wish any of you read that book if you'd like to. Some of the resources that we have that I brought. How many of you as children, if I can even remember how this works, remember this? See, I knew when you saw it. I tried to describe it to people. I can't get my fingers in there. Isn't that, you remember that? Well, we have this. I collaborated with Anita Roberts at the Loma Linda University Church, Randy Roberts' wife. She does Vacation Bible School. She's the prayer coordinator there. And I collaborated with her to help design this. All it is, it's the same thing that you're used to seeing. Only when you pick a caller, you come to a number. Then when you pick a number, you open it up, and it tells you a certain kind of prayer to pray. Like thanks and sorry and for forgiveness. And it helps teach a child the different types of prayer. This is on the all these things are on the resource disk. And the way it looks, when you print it, it's like this. And so you cut it out and you fold it. It says, here's how it explains the game. Ask your mom or dad, or maybe an older sister or brother, if they can help you by making copies of this origami prayer game. Then ask them to help you fold it. While you cut it out and fold it, talk about the different types of prayer. And then it goes on to explain and ask different questions about this. But this is on the resource disk. Another thing that's on the resource disk, and this is a reason in and of itself, I think, to purchase the resource disk, is this is going to be on a resource disk that's going to the General Conference constituency meeting. This is another resource that Anita and I worked on. This is a prayer journal for children. And all it is 5 pages printed on both sides, stapled in the middle, and then folded. and it helps teach children the importance of journaling their prayers. And it's a very inexpensive way to have a prayer rotation during vacation Bible school, or to use it in any kind of youth program for the young kids. So this is one of the things that I really like that is on there. We also have from pastors and elders, we have an anointing brochure that I collaborated with the Central California Conference and with Loma Linda University. And this is answering your questions about anointing service. So if someone possibly needs anointing for healing, you can give this to them ahead of time and they can read it. This resource is also on the resource disk. And there's several other things that if you would like to get a closer look at, I can show you after our meeting this morning, but I would encourage you. Also, if you buy one copy of the CD, you're allowed to make copies of it. It's not like it's a copyrighted thing. So if you just want one copy and then make copies of it, you're allowed to do that. I want to remind all of you about the prayer journal that I keep with me. If any of you have prayer requests, please let me know. I will let you put these in the journal when I promise you. I absolutely promise you, because I've made that commitment to our Lord, that I will pray over each one of the prayer requests put into this book many times. Okay? I will also want to tell you that we have another prayer journal. And this prayer journal is one that the Mountain Dew Conference is making available to you to write in. And it's going to be positioned right outside the doors here. So when you come into the meeting hall, you can do the same thing here that I've asked you to do here. This one will stay with the conference. So the conference will be lifting your names and your loved ones in prayer. So I'm going to sign some prayer requests in here. So I want you to know that this one is available. I'm excited about this one. Do you have blind? You have blind camp here. You don't have blind camp? Have any of you ever been to blind camp? Okay, you've worked at blind camp, you've been at blind camp. I want to tell you a story about blind camp. I was a camp counselor at, I can't even remember the name of it, in Florida, Camp Kalakwa in Florida. And one of the most exciting times of camp was blind camp, because all of these kids come there. Some of them are completely blind. Some of them are just legally blind. But all of them come depending on you. And it really helped me to grow in my understanding of how important it is as a Christian to trust in God where there's going to be people trusting in you. And you can't get any more clear example of that than someone who is dependent. Someone who has to ask that you stand in for situations where they can't take care of themselves. But as I examine that circumstance, I realize that we as Christians face that every day. It's not just a blind child or a person has difficulty hearing or anything like that. But as Christians, we have vision of something that others don't have. If they're not Christian, they're disabled. If they're not Christian, it doesn't matter what they have in life, because they don't have our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I have learned through my experience in blind camp how important it is to ask the Lord to anoint my eyes as he counsels us in Revelation with eye salve, that I might see the needs of those I come in contact with. But I want to tell you this experience about this little boy at Blind Camp. His name is Jimmy, and the very mention of his name, as you can see, brings a smile on my face, because I have the most beautiful memories of this little boy. He was probably about 8 years old, about this high, blonde hair, precocious. He thought he could do anything. Blindness had nothing, had no disabling effect on him whatsoever. He just was determined to do anything that he wanted to do. He was completely blind, and he was in my cabin, he and I hit it off really well. I am just blessed, by the way, that we became such close friends. But the very first morning of each day at camp, we learned memory verses. And the very first memory verse that I taught them that morning was, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Proverbs 17:22. And so I taught that to the campers, and little Jimmy just loved that. After I taught it to him, I said, "Does anybody want to try to recite it?" And he just waved his hand, and he was all excited. And I'm like, "Okay, Jimmy, recite today's memory verse. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Proverbs 17:22. And I'm like, "Very good, Jimmy." Well, later that week, they wanted us to ask any of the campers if they had any talents that they could share on Wednesday night, talent night. And so I asked the whole camp, the cabin of campers, "Do you have any gifts, any talents that you would like to share at our talent night?" And Jimmy goes, ooh, "I've got one." And I go, "What is it?" And he goes, "Give me one." And I'm like, I don't know how to give you a talent. I'm thinking, but I know I have to look to see what God wants this little boy to do. And so I'm sending up a silent prayer, and I'm asking our Father, "What can I do to help this little boy just really enjoy the joy of Wednesday night, talent night?" And I go, "Well, Jimmy, what do you do?" And he goes, "I don't know. Give me something." And I'm still praying, and I go, "Well, how about this, Jimmy? Would you like to recite all of our memory verses?" And he goes, "Oh, that's it. I want to recite our memory verses." I'm like, "Good." And another camper sang, and another one recited a story. And so everything was all set for Wednesday night, talent night. That night, I happened to be over to this side of the auditorium doing something. So I wasn't with my cabin. There were like directors of the show who were conducting all of the campers and everything. And Jimmy, they led him up on the middle of the stage. And he turned toward the audience like I'm facing you. And they left him there and walked off. And he stood there and he said, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Proverbs 17:22. And that auditorium erupted in applause. And Jimmy just lit up. He was so excited by the reaction he got. And he was so excited that he just continued, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." And they just erupted in louder applause, and he got all the more excited. "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." And he was getting a standing ovation, and he could tell it because all the noise raised up about 3 feet. "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart." And he continued. And they all, I finally looked around and I saw that everyone was looking over toward me. Like, what are you going to do? And I'm looking like, I don't know. And I quietly walk across the side of the stage. And he's still up there. I'm very hard. Doing good. And I'm not wanting to break his heart. He's right up there. And I come walking up quietly. And he's standing here, a merry heart, doing good like a medicine. And I kneel down next to him, and I put my arm around him, and I go, Jimmy. And he said, yes. And I whispered in his ear. And he goes, thank you very much. And bowed, and I escorted him off the stage. The faith of a child. The faith of a child. Later that week, we were going to take all of the children down the Ishtukni River. It's a crystal clear water. You're probably very familiar with this kind of water here in the mountains. Crystal clear. You could see 30 feet. You could see a quarter on the bottom of 30 feet of water there. And it was something that all the campers looked forward to. For those who were completely blind, we put them in canoes. For those who could see a little bit, we let them float down the stream in an inner tube. Well, I told you, Jimmy was precocious. We couldn't get him into a canoe for anything. He wanted that inner tube. And so we finally gave in. And we said, okay, you can ride in the inner tube. And I was in an inner tube, and I was trying to stay kind of close to him. And everything was fine. All the kids were having a great time. All the staff, most of them were in canoes. And I was trying to stay kind of close to Jimmy in my inner tube. And all of a sudden, as it is in Florida, this storm just came out of nowhere. And the dark, rolling clouds just moved in on us without any notice. And the rain started coming down. The lightning started crashing around us. And we were desperately trying to gather up all of the kids out of the water. I happened to have, by that time, already served 4 years in the Navy. And so I was older than most of the college kids, so they kind of turned to me to supervise what we were going to do to take care of all of these children. And I saw this island. And so I pointed toward the island. I said, let's take them to the island. And we moved toward the island. I got out of the inner tube, and I got into a canoe, and we're directing all of the kids to the island, while me and another camp leader by the name of Rick, we're in separate canoes. We're canoeing upriver looking for the kids and making sure the kids are getting collected, and we're putting them in the canoe. We're taking them back to the island, and then we canoe back upstream again. We pick up any kids that are on inner tubes. We put them in our canoe. We take them back to the island. And we're canoeing this one time. And as we're canoeing up, we look upstream, and the horror of horrors is seen, because coming around the bend is an inner tube without a child on it. And so Rick and I are desperate. By this time, kids are feeling the lightning striking nearby. It is going through the water. Fortunately, it wasn't close enough that it was hurting them, but they could feel the electric jolts of the lightning strikes nearby. And we're paddling upstream, just desperate and crying out to God to protect the child that belongs to that inner tube. And as we turn around the bend, there it is. There's this branch hanging out over the creek, right, like this. It's like one of those Disney animated movies where it looks like a hand that is reached out over that creek, and hanging on to the branches of those fingers is Jimmy. And I call out Jimmy, and he can barely hear my name over his name over all the rain, all the sound of the rain squalls. But he hears me, and he recognizes it, and this smile of he had horror on his face, but this smile of assurance when he recognized my voice comes to his face, and I'm just saying, hold on, we'll be right there. And we go get Jimmy, and we get him safely in the canoe. And we both row back downstream. We take him to that little island. By that time, they have moved away from the edge of the island, and all the staffers are up further on the island. And I'm afraid we need to go back upstream and look for more kids. So I take Jimmy and take him out of the canoe. And there's this skinny little tree, probably about this high, on the very edge of that island. And I ask Jimmy to hold on to that tree and hug it, and not let go until someone comes to get him. And he said, okay. And I said, would you repeat what I said, Jimmy? Because he was precocious. And he said, you told me to hold on to this tree and not let go until someone comes to get me. And I said, absolutely. That's what I want you to do. And he was holding that tree, and Rick and I canoed back upstream. And we're looking for more kids. We couldn't find any more. We were thanking God that we had rescued all of the kids. And then out of nowhere, the rain just came down in sheets. And we could not see where we were going. And so now, Rick and I were in danger. And we're paddling back downstream. And Rick's like, where do we go? Because it's wide enough that we could miss the island. And I'm like, I don't know, just I don't know. And we're paddling, and I'm praying, and Rick is like, where do we go? And I go, shh, shh, shh. And he goes, what? And I go, shh. And I go, that way. And he goes, what do you mean that way? Well, as a sonar technician in the Navy with Rick, I had been trained to track ships through the background noise of rain squalls. And on that day, that skill came in handy, because I was hearing a faint rhythmic sound that could just barely be made out. And as I listened, I could tell there was a familiarity to it. Soon as we continued to row that way, there was a gray silhouette form shaping in front of us. And that faint rhythmic sound just got clearer and clearer. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And we followed that cadence to safety. And Rick was, Jimmy was still holding on to that tree. And I called the staff and I go, why didn't you come and take him up where it was safer? And they said that he told us that you had told him that he was not to let go of that tree until someone came to get him. And Jimmy told us that that someone had to be you. So on that day, a day where I thought that I was the one saving others, God used a little blind boy named Jimmy to direct me to safety. On that day, a day where I was the one giving all the instruction and orders to others, God's word, spoken through a little blind boy named Jimmy, became a beacon of light, giving me safe passage through the blinding storm and the dark circumstances that had obscured my view that day. But also on that day, a day where my heart weighed heavy for the safety of others, God used the heart and the love of a little blind boy named Jimmy to show his love for me. Jimmy, clutching onto that tree, standing in the shadows of that storm, anxiously looking out over the waters, prayed the heart of God for my safe return. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the way, for the many, many ways that you reach us through the storms. I ask, dear Father, that you would anoint our eyes that we might see. I would ask, dear Father, that you would clothe us in the garment of Christ's righteousness. And I would ask, dear Father, that you would refine us with loving care, that we might become more like Jesus, that others might see the love of Jesus in our lives and in our actions and in the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I love that story. I have told that story. It's probably the story I have told most in my lifetime. And I told that in California, and the prayer coordinator for the Southern California Conference came back and told me, she went to her church and was telling the story. And she said that there was a member of her church that remembers that day, that talent night, and remembers how I had to go up there and to lead Jimmy that day. The way God speaks to us through children. And the way our hearts ache sometimes for our children. I know, because I saw the burden I put on my mother's heart. And so I want to transition here a little bit. I would like everyone in the auditorium to stand up. Everybody, if you can, if it's hard to stand up, please don't. Okay, everyone standing up, now listen to me carefully. I want all the women to sit down. Okay, very good, all the women sitting down. Okay, to everyone that has remained standing, Happy Father's Day. If you're not a father yet, you will be. And if you're never a father, you'll be a father figure. So I just wanted to take this day and just have the opportunity to see all of you. And I want all the women now to stand up again and wish all the men that were standing a Happy Father's Day. Okay, you may all be seated. That's why we chose to put the letter of a father's love last night. It was to take us into transition to remember Father's Day today. I want to tell you another story. This is a true story. It's a story of a boy and his father. Some of you might have heard this story, and if you have, it's worth hearing again. At age 15, the boy heard about a 5-mile benefit run for a lacrosse player who had been paralyzed in an accident. He asked his father if they could participate. His father had never done anything like that before, but his answer to his son was yes. From what I've already shared with you, you can tell that this is going to be a wonderful story. But there is more. You see, Rick was born in 1962 to Dick and Judy Hoyt. As a result of oxygen deprivation, Rick's brain at the time of his birth, Rick was diagnosed as spastic quadriplegic with cerebral palsy. Dick and Judy were advised to institutionalize Rick because there was no chance of him recovering and little hope for Rick to live a normal life. That was just the beginning of Dick and Judy's quest for Rick's inclusion in the community, sports, education, and one day, the workplace. Dick and Judy soon realized that though Rick couldn't walk or speak, he was quite astute and his eyes would follow them around the room. They fought to integrate Rick into the public school system, pushing administrators to see beyond Rick's physical limitations. Dick and Judy would take Rick sledding and swimming and taught him the alphabet and basic words like any other child. After providing concrete evidence of Rick's intellect and the ability to learn like anyone else, Dick and Judy needed to find a way to help Rick communicate with others for himself. With $5,000 in 1972, and a skilled group of engineers at Tufts University, an interactive computer was built for Rick. This computer consisted of a cursor being used to highlight every letter of the alphabet. Once the letter Rick wanted was highlighted, he was able to select it by just a simple tap of his hand and his headpiece attached to his wheelchair. When the computer was originally first brought home, Rick surprised everyone with his first words. Instead of saying, "Hi, Mom," "Hi, Dad," Rick's first spoken words were, "Go Bruins." The Boston Bruins were in the Stanley Cup Finals that season. It was clear from that moment on that Rick loved sports and had followed the game just like anyone else. In 1975, at the age of 13, Rick was finally admitted into public school. After high school, Rick attended Boston University and graduated with a degree in special education. In 1993, Dick retired in 1995 as a lieutenant colonel from the Air Force Guard after serving his country for 37 years. It was in the spring of 1977 that Dick pushed his son Rick in his wheelchair for the 5-mile benefit run for the paralyzed lacrosse player. That night, Rick told his father, "Dad, when I'm running, it feels like I'm not handicapped." This realization was just the beginning of what would become over 1,000 races completed, including marathons, duathons, and triathlons, six of them being Ironman competitions. Also adding to their achievements, Dick and Rick biked and ran across the U.S. in 1992, completing a full 3,700 miles in 45 days. In a triathlon, Dick would pull Rick in a boat with a bungee cord attached to a vest around his waist and to the front of the boat for the swimming stage. For the biking stage, Rick will ride a special 2-seater bicycle and then Dick will push Rick in his custom-made running chair. Rick was once asked if he could give his father one thing. What would it be? Rick's response was, "The thing I would most like to do for my dad is let him sit in my chair and let me push him." This is their story.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Amen. This morning, we have had a little blind boy and a paraplegic inspire us. How much can God do through us if we allow Him? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Do to others, because others are some other father's son or daughter. But most importantly, others are our Heavenly Father's son or daughter. If a father on earth will do what this father did for his son, how much more will our Heavenly Father do for us? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, happy Father's Day to you, dear Lord. We thank you so much for your love and your faithfulness, for the promise of your Holy Spirit, and for the presence of that Spirit here with us today. I humbly bow before you now, Lord, and I ask that you would bless each father here today in a special way. I would ask, Father, that you bless everyone here today. But Lord, as I lift this prayer, I know that there are burdens in their hearts for their children. And so, not only for their sakes, dear Lord, would I ask that you bless their children even at this very moment as we are lifting our prayers to you. This very hour, this very minute, dear God. Not only for their sakes, but for your sake, dear Father. Because we know what weighs on our hearts for those we love weighs even greater in your heart. So, Father, bless everyone here today with an affirmation of your presence and your love in the lives of those that they are lifting to you right now. Holy, holy, holy. We just thank you so much, dear God, because we know you are answering our prayers. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.